before these great armies can prepare their weapons for assault, there is an unexpected invasion, such as planet Earth has never seen before. This invasion is from heaven itself. John describes this invasion with these words, "Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God."
Welcome to Your Place of Grace with Evangelist Anthony Sluzes. We're taking the message of salvation, Holy Spirit renewal, and healing through the finished work of Christ to the world by every available means. If you'd like more information about Your Place of Grace ministries and our resources, visit yourplaceofgrace.com.
Hey there, my friend. This is Anthony Sluzes, and I welcome you again to Your Place of Grace podcast. Today we continue in our series on Let's Talk Bible Prophecy. That's the title of the series. And this is week 8, part 8, I should say. And we will talk about the Battle of Armageddon today. And we're going to make this short and concise, short, sweet, and concise due to time constraints. Get out your Bible and follow along. And let's study this together. Fascinating, fascinating subject over these last 8 parts of this lesson series. I love Bible prophecy. I really do. So let's get into it now, shall we? The Battle of Armageddon. This will be a battle for world supremacy. And it's, make no mistake, the Bible is quite clear when it points out just who will be involved in this great end time battle. Russia will be at the forefront. That's just a Bible fact. And when Russia and her allies march into Israel, which will happen, they will be expecting to march out in victory. There will be no indication to them of what awaits them. Russia will have no awareness that they are making that march into Israel because God himself has put hooks into their jaws, as the Bible says. They will have no awareness that God is the one leading their armies, all splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields and all of them handling swords. And we see that in Ezekiel 38, verse 4. Yet in Ezekiel 39, God has revealed the outcome of that confrontation with Israel, telling his prophet what he will do to Russia and her allies when they invade Israel in the near future. Ezekiel 39, verse 2 tells us, "And I will turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee, and I will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and I will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel." I'm reading from the King James. God declares he will exterminate all but 1/6 of the Russian axis of evil that invades Israel. 5 out of 6 warriors in that great army will be killed. That's a death rate of 82%, and it's within just a few hours. It's no wonder that the world will be stricken with shock and awe and great fear. God continues with his strategy of war by saying this in Ezekiel 39, verses 3, 4, and 6. God says, "Then I will knock the bow out of your left hand and cause the arrows to fall out of your right hand. You shall fall upon the mountains of Israel, you and all your troops and the peoples who are with you. I will give you to birds of prey, every sort, and to the beasts of the field, to be devoured. And I will send fire on Magog, that's Russia, and on all those who live in the security in the coastlands. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. Hallelujah. This last verse, this suggests that judgment is coming not only to the invading Russian forces, but also on the headquarters of that power and upon all who supported or allowed this attack on Israel. Notice these words. I will send fire upon those who live in security in the coastlands. The word translated coastlands or isle in the Hebrew is I-E. The word was used by the ancients in the sense of continents today. So it designates the great Gentile civilizations across the seas, which were usually settled most densely along the coastlands. Just like in America, for instance. Now, this fire that Ezekiel sees coming to those living securely in the coastlands could be a direct judgment from God by hurricanes and tsunamis. Or it could describe a nuclear war via an exchange of nuclear missiles. Could it be that America, who refuses to defend Israel from the Russian invasion, will experience nuclear warfare on our east and west coasts? That's exactly where most of us live today. Why would God allow this? The Bible gives us a clear answer. Speaking of Israel, Almighty God says this in Genesis 12:3, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. Right now, dear ones, in America's major universities, and I personally live in Connecticut, where all the Ivy League colleges are. In America's universities, and among professors, students, faculty, whoever, many whose positions are funded by Saudi Arabian oil money, or by money coming in from terrorist organizations, these people blast Israel as the cancer on the soul of humanity. In his wonderful book entitled The Case for Israel, Professor Alan Dershowitz, a wonderful man, he cites how pro-Israel speakers are being uninvited from America's universities, how Jewish students are being threatened. America's universities, these colleges and higher education, they boast of freedom of speech. But that doesn't exist anymore. In these institutions of higher learning, anti-Semitism is alive and well right here in America. Major American denominations are defunding Israel by refusing to buy the stock of any company or corporation doing business with Israel. I'm telling you, it is self-righteous for Americans to point their fingers at the atheistic history of Russian and the Islamic fanatics, when we ourselves are not without sin toward the Jewish people and Israel. How extensive will the judgment of God be upon the Russian invading coalition? Ezekiel 39, verse 9, states that it will take Israel 7 years to collect and burn the weapons of war brought into Israel by the invaders. How many dead will there be? Well, according to Ezekiel 39, verses 11 and 12, the physical death is going to be so massive. It's going to take every able-bodied man in Israel 7 months. 7 months to bury the dead. Those traveling in Israel from north to south have to travel stopping their noses because of the horrific stench from the bodies of the enemies of Israel, destroyed by the mighty right hand of God. People talk about Armageddon all the time, especially people who know nothing about the Bible. People who do not know God talk about Armageddon. They make movies about it, write books, articles. Where is Armageddon? If you've ever visited Israel, you've likely seen where it is, Armageddon, that is. You can look upon the ground, that great valley in Israel that will one day soon be covered with blood drained from the veins of the armies of the world. A tour guide in Israel explained it this way, and I quote, Har Mageddon means the Mount of Megiddo. One can stand at Megiddo and look across the Jezreel Valley as far as your eye can see. Now, in 1799, Napoleon Bonaparte stood at Megiddo before the battle that thwarted his attempt to conquer the East and rebuild the Roman Empire. Contemplating the enormous plain of Armageddon, the marshal declared, and I quote, "All the armies of the world could maneuver their forces on this vast plain." In the Old Testament, this valley is called the Valley of Jehoshaphat. And the prophet Joel says, "I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the Valley of Jehoshaphat." Joel then describes the Battle of Armageddon. He writes, "Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords, and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, 'I am strong.' Assemble and come, all you nations, and gather together, all around. Cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord. Let the nations be awakened and come up to the Valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great." That's from Joel 3, verses 9 through 13. In the book of Revelation, John the Revelator declared that the blood will flow up from the bridle of the horse. It will flow up to, I should say, the bridle of the horse for a space of 1,600 furlongs, which is approximately 200 miles. It will be a sea of human blood. Oh my. Take a moment to look at the map of Israel. From the northern part of Israel to the southern point is about 200 miles. The message? The battlefield will cover the nation of Israel. It is so beyond human comprehension to envision a sea of human blood drained from the veins of those who have followed Satan's plan to try to exterminate the Jewish people and to prevent Jesus Christ from returning to the earth. And yet, in the theater of your mind, right now, try to imagine the armies of the world armed to the teeth, representing hundreds of millions of men eager to slaughter each other. As this great battle begins, the king of the east and the king of the west have gathered in Israel to fight for control of planet Earth. Just then, the unexpected happens. Before these great armies can prepare their weapons for assault, there is an unexpected invasion, such as planet Earth has never seen before. This invasion is from heaven itself. John describes this invasion with these words, "Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with that he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." That's from Revelation 19, verses 11 through 16. Hallelujah. Instantly, the Antichrist and the King of the East forget their hostilities toward each other. And in verse 19, John the Revelator says that the Antichrist and his armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. It will be Jesus Christ of Nazareth who sits upon the white horse. Hallelujah. In this great battle, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords captures the Antichrist and the false prophet and casts them alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Look at what happens next in verse 21. "And the rest, that's hundreds of millions, were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh." Oh, dear one, we stand on the brink of the best of times and the worst of times. It is the worst because man's rebelling against God and his purpose for Israel makes it necessary for God to crush Israel's enemies. Psalm 121, verse 4 says this, "Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." Just before us is a nuclear countdown with Iran, followed by Ezekiel's war, and then the final battle, the Battle of Armageddon. The end of the world as we know it is rapidly approaching, dear one. And yet, through it all, God promises all Israel will be saved. David's son, King Jesus, will rule and reign for 1,000 years in the golden age of peace from Jerusalem. So, loved one, rejoice, rejoice, and be exceedingly glad, for the best is yet to be. You need to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. If you already have made Jesus Lord of your life, praise God. I'm thrilled for you, and we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? However, there are those of you listening to this podcast, and you don't know if heaven would be your eternal home once you die. If you don't know Jesus, you may be filled with fear and anxiety about what's happening in the world today and what's about to happen in the near future. Go to the back of the book, dear one. The good news is that we who love Jesus win. Hallelujah. So if there's something stirring in your heart today when you're thinking, I don't know Jesus as my Savior and Lord, what are you waiting for? You can do this today. Open your heart to Him today. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a personal relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Open your heart right now, dear one, and let's pray together and invite Jesus into your heart and into your life right now. I'm telling you, I promise, your life will never be the same again. Let's pray. Repeat this after me and pray it with all your heart. Yes, out loud. Dear God in heaven. Yes, pray with me. Dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Please forgive me for the way I have lived and for the sinful things I have done. Cleanse me, please, with your precious blood from all my sin and unrighteousness. With my mouth, I confess the Lord Jesus. In my heart, I believe God raised Jesus from the dead on the third day, and He is alive. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as the Savior of my soul, and I make Him Lord of my life. And according to God's word, which cannot lie, I am washed. I am cleansed, forgiven, healed, and I am born again. And I thank you, my God and my Savior. And dear Jesus, I will live for you and serve you all the days of my life. In your holy name I pray, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Oh, loved one, if you've prayed this with me, contact me through my website, yourplaceofgrace.com. Click on the contact tab, write me a short email, say, Tony, man, I prayed that prayer with you. Jesus is Lord of my life, and I'll never be the same again. Hallelujah. If you'll do that, I'm going to rejoice with you. I will send you a word of encouragement, and even more than that, I'm going to send you a free resource through the mail, postage paid, to help you get started in this new walk with Christ. Loved one, go to church next weekend. Ask God to help you find just the right church for you. Make sure it's a church that preaches and teaches the Bible, where the people love God and where they love each other. Thank you so much for listening. I pray for you guys every week, and I hope that you're enjoying and are being blessed by this series on Bible prophecy. So until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may He always have a smiling countenance toward you. And may God grant you peace, protection, prosperity, joy unspeakable and full of glory. May He give you laughter and unconditional love within your marriage, family, home, relationships. And may God grant you great favor everywhere you step foot, all the days of your very long life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to Your Place of Grace with Anthony Sluzes. We trust the podcast was a blessing to you. If you'd like more information about our ministry, resources, testimonials, and to schedule Anthony to speak at your event, go to yourplaceofgrace.com.